from the top of the Koppenberg in Belgium. Welcome to the GCN show.
Welcome to the GCN show.
Coming up this week, lightweight is back. We're discussing if light bikes are the holy grail and always have been, or if it's still really doesn't matter.
We've also got Si's statement about Lance Armstrong.
Oh, yes.
A massive new launch from Wahoo with their latest head unit, which is called the Element Ace, and the opportunity to win one.
Yep, and just in case you hadn't noticed, we've got a new GCN studio.
Yes, we are so excited, not least to have a table again, plus a load of cool tech that you won't notice just yet.
That's right. It's a little bit like something out of Ron Burgundy, this, isn't it? We've got many leather-bound books and smells like rich mahogany.
Maybe we should describe it for podcast listeners. Bloody good it is.
Yeah, like a bit like a bat cave and a bike shop, yeah, all rolled into one.
This week in the world of cycling, we learned that the Strava KOM for Alpe d'Huez, possibly the most prestigious KOM in the world, has been broken.
In mid-November, in freezing conditions, by 29-year-old Canadian Jack Burke.
Who's the lad that Si and Connor were talking about on last week's show, who'd already got the Stelvio and the Mortirola KOMs this autumn. More details on that over on the GCN Racing News show from yesterday.
Yeah, we also learned this week that one or two people still get upset at us teasing Lance Armstrong. So, just for clarification, my statement. Yes, he was not the only cheat. But no, he didn't win the Tour de France because he cheated. Which does unfortunately mean that you forfeit any result that you've got, irrespective of whether you cross the line first or not.
I sense you have a bee in your bonnet about this as well, Si.
Well, a little bit, yeah. I mean, if you break the rules, you know the risks, right?
Indeed. I think we should actually explore your deep-rooted emotions a little bit more on this one, Si.
No, I really don't think we should.
Okay. Well, on a more positive note, Sir Bradley Wiggins, who's currently facing a bit of financial difficulty, revealed last week that Armstrong is actually paying for the therapy that he's currently receiving.
That is cool. That is cool. Commendable gesture, Lance.
It is pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Like, I actually don't have anything against Lance, but being British, I like taking the piss out of anyone and anything, which includes Lance Armstrong. But I'm also clear, if you break the rules, you forfeit your race results, right? Isn't that simple?
It sounds very simple, but yes, we are now back there.
Sorry, that's it. Right, done with that.
We're moving on. Finally this week then, we learned that the lightweight bike is back.
Yes, a few weeks ago, you may remember that we were talking about the return of rim brakes with a special edition Conargo C68. This week, Scott Bikes are the ones going back to the future with their latest bike launch. Their aim with their new Addict was to make it 5.9 kilos, which happens to be the same weight as their 2008 Addict Limited.
How on earth has it taken 16 years to come full circle from a weight point of view? Well, make of it what you will, but the new one has wider tyres, wider gear ratios, disc brakes, integrated hoses, more compliant, stiffer, and of course, more aero as well.
Yes, now I reckon you will either be thinking, well, that's pretty cool, or you're now apoplectic with rage after hearing a list of everything wrong with modern bikes.
Well, wait for this bit. The price has also gone up a little bit since 2008, although it hasn't quite doubled.
Not quite doubled.
No.
In what's that, 16 years?
Yes.
It is now just £12,799.
Pounds.
And I think a little bit more, obviously, dollars and euros. Mm. Yes. Now, all those things that Dan's just listed off have, of course, added weight to modern bikes, and a lot of them have added cost as well, considerably, in fact. But the advantages that you get in, I don't know, speed, handling, comfort, whatever, has meant that extra weight has been seen as justifiable.
It has, I would say, for the most part. However, Scott set themselves the mission to turn back the clock, and it appears, I would say, to be mission accomplished.
Well, yeah, in that it weighs 5.9 kilos. Yeah. Job done. Apparently, they've saved a full 300 grams off the frame set of the previous model whilst making it, you'll be pleased to hear, 12% more aero and giving it enough clearance for 34mm wide tyres.
This is pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Also, 914 grams for an aero-ish frame and forks is ridiculously light.
It is bonkers, isn't it? Yeah.
I've done that with a new type of carbon moulding that produces a completely hollow frame without any dead-end tube segments. And yes, I did just quote that from their website. And apparently that process gets rid of a lot of excess resin as you're left with just the carbon that you need for the frame's strength and stiffness. And yes, I also read that out from the website.
Something that we all need, isn't it? Get rid of a little excess resin from time to time. Exactly, Scott. Sorry, it's tickled me.
I've piled the resin on.
Scott are not the first, we should say, to launch a lightweight bike in recent times. I think Specialized, actually, were the ones that kicked things off with their Athos. Our mates at Orbea were obviously thinking along the same lines because they came out with the new Orca, which had an emphasis purely on lightweight as well, not long after. Although that does have more mod cons, doesn't it, than the Athos, like integrated brake hoses.
True. Is the push to lightweight, though, a bit like the aforementioned Colnago C68 rim brake? Just a nod to the past to appease a small number of wealthy cycling aficionados who are fondly remembering a bygone era through rose-tinted glasses.
Well, I mean, if you're a consumer, right, there is no reason to compromise on weight because you can have a very light bike that is fairly aero and handles as well as anything else out there, right?
If you've got the money to spend, of course.
If you have got the money to spend, yes. If you're a pro, though... Well, funny enough, there's actually not much to get excited about, is there? So Team DSM and Q36.5 are both sponsored by Scott. But given that this new model comes in at 900 grams below the UCI's minimum weight limit, they're not actually going to take full advantage of this anyway. So they're probably still going to end up on the more aerodynamic foil model, weren't they?
Well, on the other hand, there are plenty of pro bikes that are some way above the minimum weight limit of 6.8 kilos, in part because their team bikes just weigh a lot.
Yeah.
But also because it's simply not been a priority for riders to spec them with lighter parts.
No, and that's really interesting, isn't it, actually? If Dan Bigham has his way, they'll be having to add 2.1 kilos to their bikes. Bigham, you'll remember, is the aero guru, now for the Red Bull team, actually. And he's no stranger to ruffling a few feathers in the pro cycle world. And last week suggested that the UCI actually increase the minimum weight limits to 8 kilos. And he said that this could increase safety factors in frame design. Do you know what he means by that?
I guess basically the frames are a bit safer, but they seem fairly safe.
I was going to say, they do seem really safe. Anyway, as well as making it more feasible to include onboard technology.
Which would be quite cool, wouldn't it? His conclusion in that tweet, though, was that it would be putting to bed the weight weenieism argument, as he puts it. Basically, he reckons everybody would be going faster if the minimum weight rule was increased to 8 kilograms due to greater aerodynamics.
Yeah, well, that's what we're all shouting for at the minute, isn't it? Yes, no, I think we can all agree that that would suck. Sorry, Dan Bigham. Away from the pro peloton, though, what, more importantly, does it mean for the rest of us? I think quite a lot, actually, isn't it? So when I made the first GCN video about the new Orca, I was super interested to read people's comments. I genuinely didn't know what to expect, right? Because here was a bike that didn't talk about being more aero or massively stiffer or anything like that. It instead focused on lightweight and specifically climbing. And you know what? You lot loved it.
They did. Now, I mean, clearly, there are a whole load of cyclists who do just love lightweight. And I can totally see why. I mean, firstly, there's no ambiguity about whether something is aero or not. Is it really 1 watt faster? And if that's tested at 50 k's per hour, does that translate down to a more realistic 30 kilometers per hour?
Exactly. It's a common purchasing decision, isn't it, basically? But with weighing scales, there is no such problem. No. Plus, you can actually just feel it, can't you? Like, you pick up a light bike and it gives you that wow factor. There's that great moment, isn't it, where your brain thinks that it's picking up an object that's going to be a certain weight and then it transpires that object is much, much lighter than you thought, and you do get that like whoa moment.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's not just for you either, it's for like random passers-by. Yeah. So there's nothing better than when a random passerby picks up your bike and just says whoa. Doesn't really work like that with aero bikes. Well, not so much.
Not really. Whoa, those wheels look aero. When you ride an aero bike, you can feel it, can't you? But it's still not quite the same as that sensation. Although, I don't want to sort of throw a spanner in our argument here, but can I just say, though, before we go any further, right, I'm actually not that fussed about super light bikes. No. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't not like super light bikes.
Right.
I've just noticed over the years, right, of, you know, having the best job in the world where I get to ride a gazillion different types of bikes, there's actually not much correlation between how much I love a bike and the weight of it, right? So 7.5 kilo road bikes, you know, if it's a good bike, it'll feel amazing. Whereas sometimes super light bikes, they feel they don't really hold their speed as much.
Hmm. Well, that's good news because, as mentioned, with all the latest tech developments, super light bikes don't really come cheap.
So no.
Do they? The difference in weight between SRAM's top tier red group set and their second tier force group set, I worked out earlier.
Go on.
400 grams difference.
Really?
800 pounds, not weight. Currency difference.
I'm glad that you've owned those statistics because I'm sort of 90% sure they're right. Now, personally, out on the road, I would care far less about the extra weight of the Force than I would about the improved ergonomics that you get with the new red shifters and the improved brakes. So that fundamentally is what makes a difference for me, right? Because that's what you feel at all times.
But I guess the issue is less about people with loads of money that can afford 12 grand bikes, isn't it? And people buying bikes in the 1 to 4 grand range that now have heavier bikes because of all those tech features that we talked about and without that weight weenie approach.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Actually, probably the most important question is whether this drive for lightweight at the top premium end of the market will trickle down like all the other tech has done, like, you know, disc brakes and whatever else. So will we get manufacturers speccing mechanical rim brakes to get 7 kilo bikes, for example, at lower price points?
It'd be a bit too niche, wouldn't it, don't you think?
Well,
anyway, you tell us at home, I guess. As ever, you can let us know your thoughts on this new lightweight bike and lightweight bikes in general by getting involved in the comment section down below. Makes a difference to me now, Si, all this weight I'm packing on through muscle.
Is that right?
Well, I'm hoping to get to 80 kilos, which would be another 4 kilos from now.
Why are you hoping to get to 80 kilos?
Because when I get into my 60s, I'll be reversing. I won't have something to lose.
Well, I mean, that's great, mate. It's a good aim to have that.
Yeah. So that's my thoughts on it. But you can get involved in the comments below.
Well, to be fair, they do say, don't they, that lighter bikes disproportionately advantage lighter riders, don't they? So like that UCI minimum weight limit is not fair on the women's peloton.
No.
You typically are much lighter. Whereas if you are an 80 kilo burly mammal,
thanks,
then it's right, then yeah, you're gonna notice it less, right? So yeah, that's 4 points.
No, it's always a good point, that, isn't it? Because you do get some of the female pro peloton climbers who are like mid 40 kilograms,
yeah,
extremely light. 6.8 kilograms is a much bigger proportion of their weight, as you point out, than it is from a big sprinter on the men's side.
So what you're classing yourself as these days?
Just the big bit. But still slow twitch.
Yeah.
And now it's time for Cycling Shorts.
Cycling Shorts now. I'm going to start with some big news from one of our partners, Wahoo, who released a brand new head unit today.
I've got all the details of it. Make sure you check out the video that came out earlier on today on GCN with Si. But we'll give you the key headlines now. I haven't been hiding it down over 10 minutes. The more observant of you will have noticed I've just taken it from the shelf behind me. Anyway, this is called the Wahoo Element Ace. And the headlines of this brand new head unit is that there is a wind accelerometer, it's touchscreen, there's 30 hours of battery life, and an audio speaker.
There's an audio speaker?
There is an audio speaker.
Really?
There is, yes. Did you not mention that bit in your video?
No, I did not mention that. I didn't realise it was an audio speaker.
Let me tell you then about the audio speaker side. So we've got an audio speaker.
All right.
Which can give you turn-by-turn navigation, which is quite cool, isn't it?
Is it as in, like, are we talking like a sat-nav? Turn left in 400 metres.
Yeah.
Serious?
I'm not sure whether you can get different accents. I expect you can.
Well, you should get Connor to do them.
Yeah. Why?
Well, you missed it last week. Connor was on the GCN show and he attempted to do a Yorkshire accent. And it was the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
It's reed scored, but only southern buses wear gloves. Isn't that so, Arkwright? Aye, my fingers just dropped off with frostmite.
It was like kind of Yorkshire meets sort of Jamaican-y Germany. Yeah, it's terrible.
Okay, I'll have to listen back to that. Anyway, back to the Wahoo Element Ace head unit. The geek in me is really quite excited about the wind sensor, which you could really already use to quite accurately figure out how aerodynamic you are on a bike. But it will also inform you as to whether or you're going slow because of a headwind or because of your legs.
Nice.
Most likely the latter, in my case, unfortunately. But it'll be good to have confirmation.
That's right, yeah. So as Dan said, there is a full video on GCN on the new head unit, which you can find just before this one, actually, which you can obviously check out after you've watched the GCN show. But that, going back to your wind sensor thing, Dan. So yeah, at the moment, it will just tell you whether it's detecting or what the wind speed the unit is detecting, and therefore you can see it next to your own speed and it will basically go green, ever shades darker green the more of a tailwind you're getting, and ever more red with more of a headwind. But yeah, like you're saying, you could then theoretically harness that, and Wahoo say they're working on stuff too, basically tell you how aero you are.
It's very cool, isn't it?
Very cool, isn't it? Yeah, so yeah, exciting bit of tech, that. Right, before we move on, actually, we can also tell you
exciting
that we've got one to give away. Yes, to one lucky winner.
To put yourself in with a chance of getting yourself an Element Ace, and if you follow the link you'll find in the description below. Entries will close a week on Friday, so Friday the 13th. Of December.
Lucky for some.
At 1 PM GMT, which is 8 in the morning EST. A couple of territory restrictions in terms of where you can enter from. So please check on the form to see if you are eligible to enter this giveaway.
Yeah, and now actually seems like quite a good time to announce the winner of the Ruler Wahoo giveaway.
Yeah, we've actually already given one away, haven't we?
Well, hang on a minute. You didn't actually know what you were winning, but it turns out, surprise, surprise, you were winning one of these. Yeah. It's quite cool, right? You know, we couldn't tell you at the time because it hadn't been announced yet. But anyway, the winner, without further ado, is Philippe Seidel. So well done to you, Philippe.
Philippe.
Yeah.
Before we move on again, another winner to announce, this time for the Elite Wheels giveaway. So that was for the pair of Marvel G36 gravel wheels. So the winner of those is
KJ DeCracker.
Well done, KJ.
Yeah.
If you haven't already heard from us, you will do very shortly. Now, in other news, a Canadian city, Edmonton, is helping cyclists stay on the road during the winter.
Ooh, and when we say winter, we mean winter, because they have proper winters. Yeah,
proper winter,
there.
Exactly. No, there's mamby-pamby UK winter stuff.
Is that even winter? No.
Edmonton, during the proper Canadian winter,
proper,
are offering free studded tyres to a select few.
A select few?
Yeah, you have to meet their criteria. You ready?
Right.
You've got to be 16 years or older.
Comfortably am, yeah.
Be new or relatively new to winter cycling.
Well, apparently I have never experienced proper winter, exactly. So tick, yeah.
That's another tick. You've got to have a bike that accepts commonly available studded tyres.
I mean, I have no idea what a commonly available studded tyre is in terms of
the best job. We can arrange one, can't we?
I'll get one, yeah, no problem. Yeah.
You need to do 3 winter cycling challenges by the end of January next year and fill out a questionnaire by February the 21st, 2025. Tell me if a studded tyre has helped you.
Well, I mean, I can do all of that.
Well, exactly then. Great. You just need to get yourself over to Edmonton then, and then you can get some free studded tyres.
I will book my flights.
Fantastic.
Yeah. That'd be kind of cool, wouldn't it? Quite an expensive way to get a pair of studded tyres. Not entirely environmentally friendly either. But anyway, you know what? You won't be running studded tyres on there.
What?
The new Colnago.
Oh, what a segue, Simon. Yeah. Fantastic.
Anyway, we say it's a new Colnago. There's quite a few assumptions there, right? So a photo was leaked at the weekend, of which nothing's officially known about yet. It has Colnago on the down tube, which is a bit of a giveaway. And Colnago themselves posted a teaser shot on their Instagram with the phrase, built to defy wind.
Oh, I think they've stolen that from Rennie's.
Potentially, yeah.
Presumably that, though, means that the bike is an aero one.
I think so, yeah.
Jokes aside, I love the look of it. It's striking. It just looks
I
different.
Like it, yeah. So I was reading around on Tinternet earlier on, and there were people saying, not sure about that. I think it's amazing. Do you know what I think?
It's the first bike that I've looked at and done a double take of for quite a long time, just because it looks so different to the norm currently. Like a lot of bikes, particularly aero ones, sort of morphing into looking very much the same, patents allowing, etc. But this looks out of the norm.
Yeah, I think it's cool. So Colnago say that more info is coming on the 9th of December. That's according to that Instagram post. what's that, just over a week?
Just under a week from now, yeah. Next Monday.
Right, a bit of racing news now. The former head sports director of Ineos, Steve Cummings, is off to Jayco Alula. Now, you'll remember Steve, if not for being a two-time Tour de France stage winner himself, but for being left out of his own Tour de France squad this summer.
Rumours swirl that perhaps it was due to beef with Tom Pidcock. But either way, he's found a new home at the Australian squad.
Yeah, which means we can remove Jayco from the potential destinations of Tom Pidcock in the near future. Right, sorry. We will finish Cycling Shorts with a bit of Zwift news now. As part of their 10-year celebration, they are celebrating every Zwifter's journey with personalised stats that highlight their achievements.
So things such as kilometres ridden on the platform, badges earned, even pizza slices burnt.
No,
it's like the cycling version of Spotify's Wrapped, isn't it? So you'll be given a profile as well, out of one of four, based on the type of riding you've done. So your personalised spin back will be sent to you via email today, the 3rd of December.
What's your profile, Dan?
Well, I haven't got it yet, so I have, I? Oh. Because we're recording this the day before they're sent out. But I would imagine I'm going to be a speed demon. What are you laughing at? What do you mean?
Are you serious? You don't think that's going to...
I don't know. By the time this is edited, I'll know. So we'll put it on screen now.
Do you know what?
I'm a speed demon.
I would love it if your email celebrated that victory over Jens Vogt. Basically, the first experience of Zwift for either of us. And I think probably for most of you lot as well, if you'd watched it. The old 1-2, bam, bam, bam. Yeah.
Speed demon.
There you go.
Next up, hack /bodge of the week. Don't forget, you can get involved in this part of the show. All you need to do is go to globalcyclingnetwork.com/uploader. And you can submit your hacks and bodges there. First up this week, this one from Suken, gravel front light mount. I designed and printed this front light mount in 3D printer to fit the Lezyne Mega Drive 2400 front lights on the Garmin mount with a GoPro type connection. Best for a clean cockpit.
There you go. Regards, David.
It's David.
Real name. Now, it's 3D printed, so hack.
Yeah.
Also, this sorts out that pesky problem of having a light mounted off-centre on your bicycle, which, whilst absolutely fine from a functional perspective, is slightly annoying from an aesthetic perspective. And so, David, if this works, 100%, it's a hack. Yeah. And it does look good, doesn't it?
It does look fantastic. Yeah,
super, super good. Can I tell you something, by the way? I was so pleased. Right, I took delivery of a new Canyonero last week, which I was delighted with. It's beautiful, white, amazing. Anyway, on it, on the underneath the Wahoo mount, is an integrated front light that attaches with magnets.
Wow.
I know. I'm so chuffed.
I don't know if I should mention this now after the launch of the Element Ace. Why don't head units have integrated lights at the front?
That's a good question. Presumably battery, right?
Would they take that much, would they? Anyway, just a thought I had the other day. Next up, this one that came in from Chris Spray. Sorry, I was covered up with something else. Gaffer tape instead of zip ties. Mate turned up to a group ride with this abomination. Asked why, he said, the clips keep pinging off, so I've stopped them pinging. We gave him a couple of zip ties.
Oh, my word. That's not gaffer tape. What is that? That's like...
It's like a plaster.
Yeah, it's the kind of stuff you use when you're decorating to make straight lines.
Mm.
I mean... As you said a moment ago, Dan, if it's not bondage tape, it's just not worth it.
No, I said that off camera, didn't I?
You did, yeah.
You repeated it on. for those of you who didn't see the show a few weeks back...
I don't think it needs explaining, mate. I think we'll just leave it there.
Well, obviously, that's a huge bodge, isn't it?
Yeah, massive bodge. Absolutely disgraceful. Because that looks like a beautiful... Looks like a titanium frame.
It does, doesn't it?
Oh, my goodness me. Right. Lastly, this week, we've got this from Nigel Brackenbury. The reason it's the last one is because there's two hacks in one.
Oh, we ever had two hacks?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we're the deciders, obviously. Yeah. So anyway, Nigel says, some 8 years ago, I was on a ride with some friends when I had a flat tyre. A sharp flint had damaged it. Thankfully, one of my mates had in his bag a small section of old tyre, 5 centimetres long with the beads cut off. He loaned me this, and by inserting it into the damaged tyre together with the new tube, I could continue my journey. The old tyre boot.
Yeah.
Nice little hack that. So there it is. Look, next to his saddlebag. And then, secondly, The Velcro on my bag is old and getting tired, maybe like the rider, and had developed an annoying habit of coming loose and causing the bag to hang to one side. With a piece of cut down inner tube now covering the Velcro straps, the problem is solved. Now that is a nice hack.
Is it a double hack?
I think that is a double hack.
Crikey. Well, I mean, to be fair,
he saved it up over 8 years. So you,
yeah.
But no, I like that. Like, what an ingenious use of an old bit of inner tube.
Should have written in twice. Could have got on the show twice.
There you go. All right. But anyway, well done, Nigel. Very honest of you to submit 2-in-1.
I think I had one of those specialised saddle bags at some point in my cycling journey.
Cool story, bro.
Thank you very much. Yeah, actually, now I think about it, I've no idea why I said that. Yeah. It is boring, isn't it?
Yeah, really boring, right. Yeah.
Okay, well, that draws us to the end of that segment.
Just maybe keep digging.
Let's move on.
It's time now for caption competition, and you will be pleased to know, regular viewers of the GCN show, that the water bottle, complete with, we're getting on for like 6-month-old champagne.
It's not quite that. Prosecco, isn't it?
Yeah, has made the move to our swanky new studios. So, yeah, there you go. Should we have a little update?
Go on, then.
Still smells good, actually.
Oh, it hasn't suffered in transit, then?
No, it really hasn't. I think that's probably maturing quite nicely.
Very good.
Yeah, right. Okay, caption competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle, a clean, fresh one, sans Prosecco, unfortunately. Basically, all you've got to do to win one is put a witty caption in the comments section that relates to a photo we will give you in just one sec. As always, results first.
This was the photo we gave you from last week for podcast listeners. I would describe it. It's Mark Cavendish cuddling a cuddly toy with a box of Lego in his hands.
We thought it might be a Pokemon.
Quite possibly.
It might be a Squishmallow.
I'm not big on Pokemon.
No, me neither.
Anyway, our winner this week is Mr. Scott Chegg. Caption competition, like many retired pros, here's Cav showing us he might struggle to let go of the past.
I love it.
Very good, Scott.
Genuinely, yeah.
Send us a message on Facebook with your address and we'll get a bottle sent out to you ASAP. Yeah. This week's photo comes from the World Cup cyclocross, which took place in Dublin at the weekend. This, you can barely see, is Senna René of the Netherlands, who's sort of laying down next to the barrier with a canyon bike flying in the air. It's quite the photo, isn't it?
It is amazing. You could just see a little arm and the back of his helmet popping up from behind the hurdles, which we should remind you are only 18 inches tall. So he is down big time, isn't he? Whereas the bike is about 5 foot up in the air.
Yeah, it's flying.
Happens to the best of us, doesn't
it?
Yes.
I mean, this is a good opportunity to play you falling over the barrier.
I'm pretty sure we've lost that clip.
No, here it is. Always worth a rewatch, isn't it? Anyway, I will get you started with the caption competition this week with Canyon's new riderless bike makes the hurdles in Dublin look easy.
After you just shown that clip, I'm not going to be complimentary. If you think you can beat Dan's caption, which of course you will be able to, stick it in the comment section down below. We'll pick a winner next week and hand out yet another GCN Camelback water bottle.
We will shortly let you know what's coming up on GCN this week, but first up, as ever, a few of our favourite comments from the last week's worth of videos, starting with this one underneath last week's show from Andy ATB. You'll remember that Connor and I were talking about Christian Prudhomme's comment about slowing professional cycling down to make it more safe. Andy wrote in saying, motorsport constantly reins speed in and teams try and regain the lost speed. Are the UCI really trying to rein in the speed? It appears not. Group B in rallying, F1, needed its biggest star to perish live on TV for them to take action. I fear it's going to take something similar for the UCI to do anything. Raise the minimum weight of the bikes, have a single tyre supplier, rein in the aero nonsense, make the bikes slower, only allow one bike per race, any issues, tough, just like in cross-country mountain biking.
Yeah, so I picked this one, actually, because when I was like replying to comments just after the GCN show went up last week, like it really jumped out at me because I sort of had scoffed at the idea that you could slow the peloton down. But so Andy said this about, you know, F1 and rally. Mm. Someone else mentioned, and I couldn't find your comment when I was looking today, about table tennis was slowed down. So they made table tennis balls bigger because it was getting too fast. I think you mentioned about golf. They changed, didn't they?
I'm pretty sure I heard that they were changing golf balls because they were starting to drive them too far.
Yeah. So it's not just motorsport, right? Many sports have had to, you know, change the rules, yeah, in order to make the sport better in some respects. And if cycling's problem genuinely is that riders are going too fast, then yeah, you would have thought it is within the UCI's power to do something about it.
Yeah, and I think we were discussing this earlier at the coffee machine, actually, that I think the bike industry as a whole will kick back against that because they are such big sponsors and putting so much money into the teams, i.e. the bike manufacturers. That said, if you think about Formula One, these are mainly car manufacturers, you know, the likes of McLaren, Ferrari, etc., who presumably are funding these teams because they think they're going to sell more cars, which look nothing like the cars you're seeing on screen.
Yeah. Well, also, I mean, let's put it this way. Like, if the UCI tried to implement that rule and then said, I'm really sorry, but cycling brand X, Y, and Z have said that we can't do it, and then it came out that cycling brand X, Y, and Z did not want riders to be safer because they wanted to sell more stuff, that's not a great look. So actually, I don't think brands would stand in the way. I think if it was framed as a case of, this will save lives. The issue is we don't know yet whether or not actually it would save lives.
No, there's a lot to still be discussed, isn't there? A very high level, I think, on the front of safety in the pro peloton.
Yeah, but anyway, thanks very much, Andy, for that comment. Also, I like this one from Skate Mike 1021. He said, if speed is a problem and the growing inequality of deeper pockets, how about a Tour de France on a standardised beach cruiser with bucket helmets and a kit of jeans, shorts and muscle tees? So there you go. That's a thought, isn't it?
We could turn up on that new Scott Haddock and still lose by Hanson Marshall.
Yeah. At least you look good in a muscle tee now. Even if maybe not jeans shorts.
Don't speak too early. You haven't seen that yet. Next up, Cycling Collective Portugal. But we can't forget why traffic lights were created. They were created because of the danger cars represent to other road users, not because of cyclists. When speaking about this subject, we should always keep this in mind. Despite cyclists being obligated to follow the road code, it's important to make a clear distinction between the two and their impact on the safety of our streets.
I'd never thought about that before, you know. Like, we talk about cyclists rolling red lights, but actually they're not there for us. I mean, no. That's not a reason to roll red lights. I still think that cyclists should stop. But yeah, I'd never put it in that context before.
No, don't think I had until I just read that comment out that you pulled out from that video from last week.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, underneath the video, which came out on Saturday, which is me, I changed my life in 7 months, Mohawk Loke put, thanks for the series, I quit smoking 3 months ago because you inspired me.
That is cool, isn't it?
That's quite amazing, isn't it?
Super cool, yeah.
Meanwhile, Chiller 11 put, the most motivating segment of the series for me was the visual representation of the fat you've lost and the muscle mass you've gained. A very effective visual. It was quite divisive, though, in the comments. Basically, I got a load of fat from the local butchers to represent the fat I've lost in the last 7 months, and then a hunk of meat, beef, to represent the muscle that I put on in the last 7 months. Not everybody likes it, but some did.
Yeah, I mean, to illustrate that in terms of lentils, like, I mean, it might have made a good case. You'd need a lot of lentils for 4 kilos of
Yeah, true. What would I have got for the fat? Elbow's not really fat.
No, though. Like margarine. That's about as gross fat as it gets, isn't it?
Yeah. Just sort of spread it on my body.
2 kilos of margarine.
I mean, that would have made a better thumbnail as well.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, moving on. Under the same video, Sam Ham Fast put, well done, Dan. This is truly encouraging to the 50-plus viewers of this channel. I read that. I was like, we've got more viewers than 50. Crikey, as we think we are. We've been doing this for 12 years.
It's quite a backhanded compliment, isn't it?
Jay Bookman was thinking the same as I was, but this channel is more popular than that. Yes, I think Sam meant, of course, you know, the people over 50
on
the channel.
Yeah. If you've not seen that video of Dan's, it's great, actually. And it is super inspiring and motivational as well. So, definitely have a look. Underneath the giant versus killer climb vids.
This was unfair, wasn't it? Because the thumbnail the following day after my one was of a proper bodybuilder that weighed almost 130 kilos.
Yeah.
Topless.
Yeah. Anyway, it was a staggering effort from Jamie, our bodybuilder, to which you lot all responded in the comments. So the big CK510 said Jamie's performance was fantastic and his attitude about the challenge was 10 times beyond fantastic. A true sportsman. His max heart rate was bonkers. I'm glad it didn't kill him. More Jamie times GCX videos. And then Chris Garea, Jamie is an absolute beast and a legend and a good sport. His power numbers are eye-watering. And even with lie downs, his time is impressive. There we go.
His effort is legendary, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
He is a bit of a legend, isn't he?
He is, yeah. And then one last one. So for viewers in the UK, you might be familiar with Winnett's Pass. If you're not, this comment sums it up for you. My car can't even get up Winnett's Pass. What an effort. So I live near Winnett's Pass, right? It was an hour's ride away for many years.
You were at uni.
When I was at uni and then a professional cyclist. And I rode up it once.
Oh, really?
Yeah, only once. It was so awful. there was just no need to ever go up it.
We're talking of pain on the bike. The next comment was left under your video about the killer workout on Zwift.
Yeah.
It was left by JMX, who we think is John Mayfield, one of the founders of Zwift, don't we?
Yeah.
But correction, let's hope he is one of the founders.
I think he is, yeah.
You, Si. Emily's Short Mix isn't from when full workouts were a thing on Zwift. That was John's Short Mix. I'm John.
That's the giveaway.
Emily's came slightly later and dethroned John's Short Mix as our top workout. She was part of our marketing team at Zwift, a triathlete, and I think very good at writing motivational messages, which is one reason Emily's Short Mix is so good. Also, the Gorby is named after Brian Gorby, the lead developer at the time of Zwift companion app on iOS. Also a strong cyclist. Mike McCarthy and I had a bit of a debate when he made his workout on that you should typically fail before completing. I thought a workout you fail during shouldn't go on Zwift, but apparently this is one of the very few workouts on Zwift where most users won't finish if their FTP has been inputted correctly.
Yeah, I had to back it off down to 91% bias. Yeah. I genuinely think even with my FTP correct, there's just not a chance I'm going to be finishing that. But I just don't have enough fast twitch fibres anymore, Dan.
No.
They've all gone.
Yeah, both of them.
Yeah. Right, on that note, should we quickly tell you what's coming up on GCN over the next week?
Yep, starting with Thursday, which is how to layer your clothing. Very important, isn't it? I actually went out on a fairly long ride last week, which I keep banging on about to you, Si, but I haven't told the viewers yet. Over 3 hours. 5 degrees, but wet roads. Yeah.
Dan sent me a message to say that his Whoop had told him that actually his 3-hour bike ride the day before was basically more damaging and toxic to his body than a night of drinking.
Yeah, that was like proof that long bike rides are bad for you.
There you go. Yeah. Something
my worst recovery in months.
That's something for us to investigate. Anyway, Saturday, put a note in your diary. This one needs to be watched on your TV, okay? So Connor goes bikepacking with Ian Boswell in the Canyonlands of Utah, which I cannot wait to see. Mm. So that looks absolutely incredible. So like I said, one to watch on your TV. And then on Sunday, we might get hold of some of those very elusive, very fast 40mm road tyres. Okay, so very, very hot right now. Connor and Ollie wanted to see how fast they are and what they actually feel like to ride. So that you can check out on Sunday.
Fantastic. All right, that's the end of this week's GCN show. Let us know what you think of our brand new set. Oh, we've got to thank the people who made it.
Oh, we do. Hang on a minute. Let me tell you, sorry, I should have written this down.
I think it looks great.
Ed, Bob and Sam, thank you guys for building the set.
And also to Mike.
You need to give Mike a shout? Go on then. All right, Mike. Thanks, yeah. Mike. Anyway, no, thank you because we're delighted to be in here, aren't we?
Brilliant stuff. Right, see you next week.